their determination and their freedom. How it has taken its form from an ancient hope that drew them forward and made a way for them when no way could be seen. Look closer, and you will see that this blessing is not finished, that you are part of the path that it is prepared, that you are how this blessing means to be a voice in the wilderness and a welcome for the way.
Let us pray. By the light of the Holy Spirit shining in our midst, open our hearts and our minds, O God, to your word, present now and always for the sake of your holy name. Amen. Our first reading this evening is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Listen to the story of his wondrous birth.
Our second reading this evening is from the tiny New Testament book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Here again, what the Spirit is saying to the church. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For the sake of the world in need, for the care of the church in proclaiming Christ's love, and for all that God calls us to do, in this moment of offering, we give back to God that which he first gave to us. Will the ushers please come forward to collect the evening's offering? Our final scripture reading this morning comes from this evening comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. So all went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This fall, Second Presbyterian Church was one of the stops on Portsmouth Junior High School's Local History Day. And I was upstairs in our archive room, kind of digging through the pictures and the memorabilia that are up there, looking for things that I thought would be interesting to share with the kids as they came through the sanctuary. And I stumbled across something that I don't think I had ever seen in a church's archives before. It was a sermon. It was a sermon preached by Reverend Wallace Rummel, who was the pastor here from 1967 to 1971. Interestingly, the church I served for 10 years in Western Pennsylvania before coming to Portsmouth was just 4 miles down the road from the Florence Presbyterian Church, where Reverend Wallace Rummel had served as pastor. So I was surprised to see his name here after knowing him from my time in Western Pennsylvania. It's a small world in the Presbyterian Church. I became even more intrigued when I thought about it and realized I don't think I'd ever seen a sermon saved in a history of a church. There's 190 years worth of history up there, and this was the sermon that someone decided to save. So I thought that seemed to be the perfect way to celebrate this Christmas this year would be to resurrect Reverend Rummel's sermon, originally preached sometime in December, giving it my own little spin, of course, as a way of honoring our past with our present. So Reverend Rummel's sermon is a first-person monologue from the perspective of the innkeeper who had no room in his inn for the Holy Family. And so his sermon begins. I would like to do something different today. Since it is December and our thoughts usually turn to Christmas this time of year, I would like you to think with me about a scene that could have taken place that very first Christmas, based on the Christmas story we have in Luke. He writes, "I said this would be different, and the difference is that I'm going to give a monologue that I have written called The Innkeeper. If you will lend me your imagination, we will go back in history to that first Christmas and look at things as they might have been if we had been there." What a day, what a day, I tell ya. I have never seen so many people in Bethlehem. They're all over the place. It seems like everybody's brother and uncle and cousin is here, and some have come from a pretty far distance away. When Caesar Augustus set out that decree that all the world should be registered and counted in a census for tax purposes, it brought all kinds of people back to Bethlehem, people who hadn't been here in quite a while. And I gotta tell you, running an inn on regular days keeps me pretty busy. But on a day like this, I am running ragged. My inn is sold out. Not a room left in the whole place. Business has been booming. This is one time I kind of wish I had more rooms. Normally I don't, because I'm busy enough as it is. But I could make a killing tonight if I had had just a few more rooms. Say, are you from Bethlehem? I didn't think so. I know most of the people in this town. Bethlehem isn't that big, but you wouldn't know it to look at how full it is right now. I like it here. Bethlehem is just the right size to suit me. And after all, if you want to go to a larger city, you just walk on up the road. Jerusalem's just about 6 miles north of here. Yep, I sure like this little town of Bethlehem. You know, have you heard of Bethlehem before? Do you know the history that we have? You heard of this guy named Jacob, one of Isaac's sons, one of the twins? Well, Isaac married this beautiful girl named Rachel, and she's buried here just on the outskirts of town. You ever heard of a lady named Ruth? She married that guy, Boaz, and they lived here in Bethlehem together. And they say she used to climb up that summit every day because she could see across the Jordan Valley into Moab. I imagine she didn't feel quite so far away from home when she could climb up there and see it off in the distance. And what about David? Have you heard about David? David the king, right? We are the city of David. We are David's home. David was the greatest king of Israel, and he came from Bethlehem, just like us. Now, the history is great, and I'll tell you more about it if you want. But what I'm most excited about is that what they say is going to happen here. They say that someday a son in the line of David will be born here. They say he'll be greater than David ever was. Can you imagine a king greater than David born in this little town of Bethlehem? You just wait and see. Someday everyone will know the name of Bethlehem and remember it for the great and wonderful thing that is going to take place here. Our little town has a great history, but nothing compares to what's going to happen someday. Well, sir, I've bent your ear for long enough. I got to go close things down for the rest of the night. There's no point staying open when I don't have any more rooms to rent to anyone. It was nice talking to you, friend, and I hope you find some other place to stay tonight. Now there, the door is bolted for the night, and everything is shut up tight. Oh, and look at those stars shining. Isn't it a beautiful night? Well, now, who could that be knocking at my door? Can't they see the sign I put out? No room, it says. But geez, judging from the way they're banging on the door, I better go answer it because they're not going anywhere anytime soon. Well, so what do you want? Can't you see the sign? I don't have any room. Well, I can't help it if you've tried everywhere else. I don't have any room. You say your wife is with you. Well, isn't that lovely? There are lots of families here this time of year, lots of families who got here earlier and made reservations, so they had a room to stay, but you don't, so I'm sorry. What? You've come from Nazareth? Well, you are a long way from home, about 80 miles, I reckon. I can understand why you're tired and you need a place to rest, but I can't help you because I don't have any. Your wife is what? Pregnant? When's she due? Any time now. Great. Now, I really am sorry. I'd like to help you, but like I said, I've already rented all the rooms to other people. There's no room for you. But I can't just send you out into the cold. Let me think. Where can I put you? Tell you what. Behind the inn, I have some stables for the animals. It's not much, but it's better than nothing. There's some straw out there, and you can bed down for the night. Come on, I'll show you the place. Hey, did you notice that bright star shining in the sky on your way here? It's kind of crazy. I saw it earlier in the east, and now it looks like it's moved, and it's parked itself right over my inn. I remember a stranger from the east once told me that if you saw a falling star or an extra bright star, it meant something special was about to happen. Of course, I don't put much stock into those kinds of things, just superstition. Well, here's the place. You're welcome to stay here for the night. Sorry, it's the best that I can do right now. At least it's a beautiful, starry night. You're not technically in staying in one of my rooms, but I better put you down on the list anyway. So what's your name? Joseph. Okay. And your wife? Mary. Well, it's nice to meet you, Joseph and Mary. You look pretty worn out. I hope you can get some rest. I'll check on you in the morning. Now to get some rest myself. My bones are aching after a day like this. I can't sleep. The sheep I've been counting have all gotten bored and they've wandered away. I've been staring at my ceiling for hours. What's wrong with me? It's that Mary and Joseph out in the stable. I can't stop thinking about them. I wonder if she's had that baby yet. Yuck, I can't imagine how gross that would be out in a stable. Okay, stop. Just don't think about it. If you think about it, then you'll feel guilty and you won't be able to sleep. And we want to sleep, so we're going to sleep. Rats. I thought about it. I thought about it, and now I feel guilty. That poor little girl looked so tired, and her belly was so big, it looked like she was ready to pop. But they're just strangers. They're just strangers to me, so why should I lose sleep over it? At least I gave them a place to stay. Who knows how many other establishments in this town just sort of kept them moving along. At least I did something to help. Besides, if he was a king or somebody important, I would have given him my room. They're just a couple of kids. They'll be fine. I'm not going to worry about it. They can take care of themselves. I deserve to sleep. Great. There's somebody else knocking at the door. I'm going to need a front door, a new front door, if all this pounding keeps up. Probably more late travelers wanting to know if I have any room for them. No sleep for me. An innkeeper's work is never done. Okay, stop pounding on the door. Who are you? Well, you sure smell like shepherds. Well, what do you want? Why aren't you out in the fields watching your flocks? What did you say? Something wonderful has happened in Bethlehem? Well, how do you know? An angel appeared to you. Was he scary? What did he say? Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Were there other angels? Did they sing? Get out of town! I've never heard of such a thing. So you followed the star and it led you here to Bethlehem. Right, I saw that star myself earlier today. And I swear it's parked right over my barn out back. Have I seen a newborn baby? Well, let me look at my list. All my rooms are full, but as far as I know, no babies, newborns or otherwise. Oh, wait a minute. There was a man and a woman here earlier today, and I didn't have any room for them. She was expecting a baby, so I put her up in the stable. Let's go and see if this is the baby that you're looking for. Look, there they are. Oh, wow. Mary did have her baby, just like the angel said. This must be it. This must be the Son of David that we've been waiting for, the one who said that he would be born in Bethlehem. Wow. Just think of it. This thing that I've been waiting for, this thing I told you earlier, Bethlehem is going to be famous for. The Messiah is born here, right in my backyard. I think I'll put up a plaque. I'll rename my inn. I'll call it Messiah Inn. No, wait. I'll call it the Royal Stable. Gosh, I'm going to make a fortune off of all the tourists that are going to come and see this place. Maybe I'll even be famous. The innkeeper who saved the day by letting the Messiah be born in a stable. Oh, no. It's all my fault. The Savior of the world was born here in Bethlehem, and I didn't have any room for him, so he was born in a stable surrounded by a bunch of smelly animals. Great. People are gonna hate me. When they tell this story, and I'll bet you $100, they're gonna retell this story every year when they celebrate the birth of this baby, and I bet they won't even put me in it. My name will never be mentioned. I'll just be the grumpy old anonymous innkeeper who didn't have any room for the baby. Well, even if I never get famous, I'm still glad I got to be a little part of the story. I'm glad I didn't turn them out altogether, even if I didn't have room inside for them. I remember the story of how Abraham and Sarah, they welcomed these three strangers that came into their midst, and because they welcomed them, they discovered that they were angels, bringing good news, like the angels who brought good news to the shepherds tonight. And Moses, well, Moses always said that we should love the stranger as ourselves because we once were strangers in the land of Egypt. So maybe I didn't roll out the red carpet for this new baby, but at least my heart wasn't completely cold. I found strangers on my doorstep, and I did what I could to make a little room for them. And now that I know who they are, I'm going to do everything I can to help them. I hope the world will treat Jesus better than I did. I hope that when he comes to them, they will find a place for him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.